Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again this week. Excited for a wonderful show. As a reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. Hey, today for our show, I have a special guest on that I'm super excited about. This is a guest that I've been sending referrals of my own clients to for the last year. And it's just done an amazing job. His name is Kevin Nichols. He's one of the partners in Penumbra. And the one thing I love about Penumbra is that, what they do, especially if you're someone who, one, you're an accredited investor. And for those of you that are not sure if you are or not, that's one, either you have $1 million of net worth above and beyond your equity in your house. So take that out. So either you got $1 million net worth, or you make at least $200,000 a year individually, or $300,000 a year as a couple. You fit in that category at all? This is definitely something you should look into, especially if you've got like IRA money or 401k money or something like that you think you can roll over to do something better. Because I'll tell you right now, the market has not been great. Market's still been kind of there. But if you've had a decade of a market going up, you're likely to have at least a few years of the market going down. So this is probably not the time to be gambling your money into the market, as I've already mentioned on the show. But this is something that can actually get you real steady 10 to 12% return is awesome. And so Kevin, living out in Texas, has done great work with that. And so Kevin, excited to have you on our show today.
Great. Thanks for having me, Chris. I learned a new word, a Rippler.
That's right. Yeah. We're all about creating a ripple effect in our lives and the lives of others. So that's
excellent. I like it. I like it.
So Kevin, tell us more about what took you down this path in your life?
That's interesting. Well, I've been a financial planner for many, many years. I have a business partner, and together we had invested in life settlements. And I'll explain a little bit about what they are. It's essentially a senior citizen who no longer wants a life insurance policy, and you buy it from them. You give them more cash than they've got in the policy. In other words, it's a benefit to them. And then when they pass, you collect the death benefit. And so for several years, we had bought them as investors. We had bought what used to be referred to as fractionalized life settlements. We no longer do that. We had one day my partner had a policy that matured, and that same week I had a policy that needed a premium payment that I had to make. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we just threw all of them together? And that way, if one of us wins, we both win. And if one of us has to make a premium payment, then we both kind of share the burden. And he said, that is a good idea. And so we thought about it, and we had several clients who had them as well. My dad owned some, and his mother-in-law owned some. And so we just created a pool, and we started doing that. And it worked so perfectly that all of our clients wanted to be a part of the pool instead of owning on their own. And so that's how it began. And within about 2 years, we could no longer do financial planning because we had so many advisors from across the country bringing us their clients that felt it would be a conflict for us to be, actively engaged in financial advising or financial planning. So we stopped that altogether, and this is now all we do. And we're on our 8th private equity fund. We start a new fund every year. It works beautifully. So that's how we got into it, kind of backwards. And but it's been phenomenal.
It's incredible when I talk about life settlements because, a lot of people, even people that have been investors, often have never even heard of these, didn't even know this was even possible. And even I just did a show recently about, using your whole life policy and stuff. I'd even mention the fact that you could be the person on that receiving end where you might say, hey, I'm out of money, when you're in your 80s or 90s, I'm out of money, I need more cash. Hey, why don't I sell my policy off to an investor, which is exactly what you do, is you buy policies from people so that they can have cash today while you guys become the beneficiary, right?
That's exactly it. And it's a win-win situation because we always give the seller or the insured more than either the cash value or more than the insurance company will give them, if the insurance company will give them anything for it.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to make the premium payments. We collect the death benefit then when they pass. And there are so many variants of that, that we do, that we have done, we can do, we will do. And for example, we have someone who wants to sell the policy, but they still want some money for a death benefit. Mm-hmm. They're afraid they wouldn't be able to qualify due to health for a new policy. Like say they had a $2 million policy they wanted to sell and they wanted to keep a few hundred thousand just for final expenses. We will structure a deal with them where they're able to retain. It's called a retained death benefit transaction, where they're able to retain a portion of the death benefit, and that's irrevocable. And
wow.
It's at the carrier level, so we make that irrevocable. So they that will never go away, and it's just very much a win-win situation.
So you get the money from when they die, but they get the money while they're alive too.
That's exactly it. I mean, there were a lot of people selling their policies after 2008 when the market crashed, mm-hmm. because, you know, even as younger people who are in the market and investing, a lot of these older people, they had money still on the market, and they probably shouldn't have, in all candor, but they did. And so now they don't have as much money to live on. And so a lot of them would sell their policies. And so a typical transaction would be, for most life settlement companies, a typical transaction would be an 85-year-old grandmother. She wants to sell the policy. She can no longer afford it. It has no cash value. Probably it's a universal life or it's a term life policy that has been converted or can be converted to universal life. Mm. And so we'll take a look at the premium obligations on that and we'll take a look at her health. And then we'll make an offer to her that is gives her cash in her pocket and is going to give us a good yield for our investors. And we'll purchase the policy. When she passes, we collect the death benefit. It's very simple. Yeah. We've kind of refined it to the point where we're very particular about what we buy. We really focus on age, the average age across, well, we have probably 1,800 policies across all eight funds. The average age is about 90 and a half years old. So,
that's big, by the way. Most companies I've talked to, like usually it's in like the 80s, you know, and in fact, I just had somebody recently who wanted me to promote to my clients. He said, "Hey, I've got these policies, but They've already gone for, you know, over the about the 6 or 7 year mark. So now they got to have premiums paid in and this investor doesn't want to keep them anymore. I want to, you know, so will one of your people want to buy these policies now that this lady is now 90 years old?" Like, well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, if you have to keep paying the premiums, it could be three and a half years and you've already lost, you know, you've basically eaten up your returns, you know? So
absolutely.
I love the fact because I've seen 90 year olds and I have other doctors that follow. They'll say the same thing. They'll say, "I've seen 90-year-olds that are in perfect health die the next day when they're 90, and then 90-year-olds that are in horrible health live to their 100, you know."
It's really true. You know, the thing about it is if you're focusing on people who are anywhere from say 82 to 87, the premiums are nowhere near as expensive as they are when you're 90. But here's the thing. If you are interested in a policy of someone that age, you get a medically underwritten life expectancy estimate, which is pretty common in this industry, and we get them as well. And they live long, and more than 60% of the time, people outlive that life expectancy estimate. Well, if they live long and it's a universal life policy, those premiums go up exponentially.
Yes.
And most funds or individual investors are in no position to handle the premium load. Mm-hmm. And now it becomes a losing proposition for them, and how quickly can they get out? And of course, we're players at that level. If someone's got one like that, you know, we'll definitely take a look at it and make an offer on it. And we'll buy them from other funds, other institutional investors, but we also buy directly from the insured. But you just have to be real careful. You know, we kind of specialize in that age group of being 90 plus years old. I would say when we're looking at policies, we're looking for, you know, minimum age of 85, but the average age again is about 90 and a half. Most of our policies are probably, you know, 89 to 92.
And obviously, you're making way more than the 10 to 12%, which is why that's kind of what you guys are paying in the fund, correct?
Right. Well, what we're doing is, you know, we state in our prospectus, well, it's called a memorandum of private placement. It's not technically a prospectus, but most people call it a prospectus. we state in there that the target yield for the fund is 10 to 12% annualized net of all fees. And our fees are very, very, very low because, quite frankly, when we originally set this up, my dad was our first investor, and there was no way in the world that I was going to have to explain to him while I was taking so much of his money. You know, I say it's 10 to 12% annualized in net of fees, but quite frankly, we'd be pretty disappointed if that's all we were able to deliver to investors. Most of the policies that have matured, if you were to take a look at all the policies that matured or that we've had that have matured over the last, since 2010, we've had a total of 430 some odd policies mature. The average yield on those policies is right at about 90%.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, those are policies, and of course, it comes down from there because those are policies that have matured. You know, most policies have not matured. We've still got, when you're dealing with people that age, we don't have to be focused on life expectancy because honestly, we don't care because how long will a perfectly healthy 91-year-old live? Well, that's a good question, but you know, statistically, and we use the CDC, their actuarial tables, and we use VBT, which is, I think I called valuation basic tables, which is an actuarial table from the insurance industry. They say that a perfectly healthy 91-year-old will live probably to 96, but they generally frequently don't. We don't have to worry about somebody being wrong with a life expectancy estimate. And so we figure that if the average age is 90, 90 and a half, the odds that there are going to be very many of these people alive in 8 years are very, very, very slim.
Yeah.
Very slim. And so we don't worry about that. It's been a great model for us. It's worked perfectly, quite frankly. We haven't really changed the structure of our funds at all over the last 8 funds. We actually lowered our fees 3 years ago because we started out our first fund, we charged 1.75% as what we call an organizational and offering fee. And that came to reimburse us for setting up the fund, the premium, the printing, setting up the escrow. We have to set up an escrow because we don't ever touch your client's money. We don't ever even have access to it. We pay somebody to do that. The 1.75% was to reimburse us for setting up the funds. And then our fee, a management fee, is we get 2.5% of the payout when they pay. And that's it. And there are no other recurring fees from us at any point in time in the fund.
Where other companies actually have that.
Yes, they do. They do. Yeah. They'll either have a bigger chunk of them. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I've seen those companies have that, where other companies that I've been introduced to that do the same thing, essentially the same thing you do, but I mean, they do charge a lot more fees. That's true.
Yeah. We've actually taken some heat about that. You guys are ruining the market because you're only charging X. You know, you're leaving so much money on the table. But again, I go back to my dad. I am not about to explain to him why I need more money out of his pocket. The largest investors in our funds is us. We participate. We invest in every single fund right alongside your clients. And I don't like fees either. So, that's the model we've used. Now in fund five, we switched over, our custodians. We went over, in fact, we're with Bank of Utah now. We were able to negotiate a little bit better deal on the cost of their custodianship. And so we lowered the fees from 1.75 down to 1.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we could have padded our pockets with that, but that wouldn't send the right message. And so our fees have never increased ever, and they won't. If you took 1.5% on the front end and 2.5% on the back end, that's a total of 4 points. Spread that across 8 years, that's a half a point a year.
Yeah.
I don't know that you find much that's going to be less than that.
Right. And that's one thing too. I mean, not only do you have lower fees and you get great returns, but you also take less risk than the other companies that are out there. Yeah. It's like, for example, I know when people ask me about oil wells, they're like, hey, should we invest in these oil wells? And my thing is, I'd rather invest in a fund with multiple oil wells where you can spread out that risk a little bit, versus just buy into one. And if that one doesn't work out, then you're you know, you've lost your money, right? You might hit big on one, but lose on another. And here you kind of do the same thing with your fund where you spread out among many policies.
Exactly.
So people are dying all throughout. So there's returns happening all throughout.
Exactly. That's a great example you give about investing in oil wells. You know, you can invest in one or you can invest in a fund that has multiple. And while I know nothing about the oil and gas business, even though I'm in Texas, I do know quite a bit about private equity business. When people come and they say, you can invest as a part of a fund and we own a bunch of these things, obviously that should, you know, a light bulb should go off and you should say, yeah, I like that idea better. But then you have to look at the detail, and that's where most people drop the ball. Where's my money going? How much is this fund costing me in yield? Because for us, the bottom line is internal rate of return. Mm-hmm. What does the investor put in and what do they get back and when do they get it back? So we're constantly striving to fine tune and tweak just to keep it as optimized as we possibly can. We've never had a policy lapse. We've never had a policy not pay. We've never had a policy pay less than we anticipated. And we've never had a client lose one single dime in any one of our funds, not ever. And that's
awesome.
Yeah, and we're proud of that. We've never had to have a premium call where we ran out of premium reserve to make these premium payments because we're very, very conservative when it comes to how do we allocate capital. None of our funds carry any debt. We don't borrow any money to make these premium payments. Everything is 100% cash, so there's no leverage whatsoever. We don't want any partners in terms of we don't want, you know, banks as a partner in this fund who, and they want an interest payment or they want a percentage of the death benefit. We don't want any partners. Everything is returned directly to the investor. And that's why we're really pleased with what we do and how we do it.
Like I said, high returns with low risk, because let's face it, people are guaranteed to die. That's the one guarantee we do have is that people will die, right?
Exactly.
And especially when it's managed well, then it can be profitable. That's why the returns are higher.
Exactly. Well, here's something that's interesting. You may or may not know this. This investment's been around for over 100 years. It's pretty well known that Warren Buffett invests a significant amount of money, between $300 and $600 million a year in life insurance, in life settlements, rather. But the biggest players in this industry are other life insurance companies. They are who we compete with. So, and the, right. the biggest player of all is AIG. They deploy probably $5 to $8 billion a year buying life insurance policies from other carriers. Because since 1845, no B plus or better rated life insurance company in America has ever failed to pay a death benefit or an annuity claim. And if they did, we have a legal reserve system that's in place to cover it. Now, unlike the legal reserve system that we have for banking, the FDIC, which has been tapped hundreds of times the last 50 years, heck, over the last 20 years, the legal reserve system for insurance companies has been tapped no times, zero. Because when you make a deposit in a bank, the bank, it's called fractionalized banking, the bank only has to keep about 10% of actual cash in reserve.
Right.
On the contrary, with an insurance company, they have to have 100% of the death benefit in reserve. So they're the strongest financial institutions in the entire world. And we're very confident that our money is going to be there when someone passes.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. So really quick, because I know we're running out of time here. So it's kind of quick rapid fire.
Sure.
First and foremost, like if somebody puts in money, what's the minimum amount people would need to put in?
Well, it's $100,000. If you have someone who, you know, really wants to put in less, you know, we'll probably take it. But the stated amount is $100,000. And you mentioned earlier about accredited investors. The fund is designed for accredited investors. That's true. However, if someone is not quite accredited, but this is the right investment for them, in other words, it's suitable, and they understand it, and they understand the fact that it's not liquid. This is not a liquid or liquidity play. This is a growth strategy. We'll accept them if they're not accredited either. We have a lot of physicians, doctors, attorneys, business owners, dentists. They want to grow their money. It's in our video, or we have an online PowerPoint presentation is, and in that I say, it's not for all your money. It's for only for that money that you can't afford to lose. Mm-hmm. So what I usually tell people is, you know, the financial planner in me usually says, look, if you know you're going to need it in 10 years, don't invest it. Not with mm-hmm. us. Put it with someone, you know, I'm sure you've got other things that are perhaps a little more risky, but are going to provide cash flow.
Right.
Even though the investor gets paid, usually starting in about year 4 or 5 with us, we don't want them to have to count on it, because it could be, it's year 6. And if that's all their money that they've got to live on, I don't want that responsibility.
Right.
Because it's out of my control, you know? So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, but yeah. 100,000 is what's stated, but if you've got someone that wants to put in less, then that's fine. I think the average invested amount is about 225,000.
And I think this is key, because like you said, this is not a cash flow play. So we've had other investments we've talked about here where it provides monthly cash flow or at least quarterly cash flow, right?
Sure.
This is not the case. This is something that is purely growth. This is why I say IRA money or old 401ks and things like that, that you're saying, hey, how can I get this to earn money and have way less risk than the stock market and probably even beat the stock market?
Generally, yes.
Yeah, generally speaking, I mean, depending on which period you're looking at, it's probably going to do that. So when you look at something like this, this is a great opportunity. And this is where a lot of times I'll have my clients look into. It's like, here, you got IRA money. You don't need to create cash flow from it today. You can, you know, put this money out for like 8 to 10 years and you're good. And you know, so if you're pretty much low 50s on, this is likely, unless you've got other reserves or something like that, this is likely a good opportunity to be able to grow your money that you wouldn't have to cash out and get penalties and taxes on.
Absolutely. Probably 80 to 85% of the money invested in all of our funds is IRA, Roth IRA, rollover 401k, self-directed or solo 401ks, anything like mm-hmm. that. We also have a lot of trusts. We have some fairly well-known names that I can't mention. Like I said, it's really designed for growth. And if you want to make sure that your money doesn't go backwards and it's going to be there for you, I think this is something that they should look at.
I love it. I agree. Well, thanks so much, Kevin. I appreciate your time today. This has been very valuable, and I'm glad we brought this up, because surprisingly, out of over 200 episodes, we have never talked about this. So thank you so much for being on here.
It's my privilege to be with you, and thank you for offering the invitation for me to come on.
You bet. So everybody, we'll have Kevin's website with a little passcode in there for you to be able to get on their website and be able to chat with him if you have questions and that sort of thing, want to look in this deeper. I'll have that in the show notes, so check that out. But everybody, hey, we're all here about creating that ripple effect in your lives to be able to make your life different. And man, if we can create more freedom, better returns with less risk, I mean, how cool is that, right? How perfect is that? So again, check it out. Kevin, thanks so much. Everybody, you have a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.